Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Prep Rally, the high school sports podcast produced by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. And it's Wednesday, March the 2nd. Brad Locke here, your co-host, along with Gene Phelps. Gene, how's it going, man?
Good morning.
Indeed. Well, Gene, you're about to take off down to Jackson.
I am.
For good reason. There's something going on down there called the state tournament, which we're going to talk about today at length. That's going to be most of the show, in fact, is the MHSAA basketball state tournament going on in Jackson, really getting into full gear starting Thursday. I need to remind y'all, just this is a webcast / podcast. If you miss any of this webcast, you can go back and just watch the replay at djournal.com. If you just want the audio, don't want to look at our ugly mugs, we'll have it online later on iTunes, your podcast app. You can listen those ways, or you can listen at PrepRally.djournal.com. So, got a good show for y'all. Again, mostly just going to talk about the state tournament. That's the big deal going on. We've got 25 area teams by my count, Gene. 13 boys teams, 12 girls teams. You got teams like in 1A, you've got Ashland boys, Biggersville boys, Holka boys. I mean, we've got them in pretty much every classification. 2A, Calhoun City boys, 3A. You've got Boonville boys and girls, both down there. You got Shannon boys and 4A, Corinth girls. Just naming a few here. Of course, Tupelo boys in 6A as well as Starkville. So I'm not going to run through them all, but you can find the schedule in the journal, or we posted it, I believe, yesterday, Tuesday, at djournal.com. You can go find the schedule there. So Gene, we got a lot of teams now. Again, it's been a little bit different the last couple of years, the format, and technically the state tournament has already begun, but they played at school sites last week, and now they're in Jackson, the Mississippi Coliseum, and at Jackson State University.
Well, if you look at the bracket, we're in the quarterfinals.
Right.
And so we'll start the quarterfinals tomorrow. We'll play quarterfinals Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come back on Monday and start the semifinals. And away we go.
That's a lot of games. We've got 11 teams from our area playing just on Thursday. I think we've got another 8 playing on Friday, and then the rest of them playing on Saturday, another 5, 6, or 7, however many. Thursday through Saturday, Gene, you're going to be a busy guy. You're going to have some help.
I'll have a little bit of help. I'll be at 2 venues on one of the days. I believe it's tomorrow. Right. Got Shannon playing a late game at the they have so many teams down there breaking it up. So this year the girls are playing at Jackson State University at their facilities. Really nice on campus. The only thing bad at Jackson State is the students are in school and parking's kind of hard. Tough. It's gonna be tough for fans, it's tough for the media. Thank goodness I'll be there for a 9 o'clock game. So and I'll be there most of the day, so I won't be moving my vehicle, which is a good thing. And then, of course, all the boys' games for the quarterfinals will be played at the Coliseum in Jackson. All the games starting Monday, all the semifinals and finals, they will be at the big house.
Right, Mississippi Coliseum. And we had a story earlier in the week about this, Gene. With all these games going on, you've got a lot with the format now, the way it is, you got more teams in Jackson than you used to be, which means you've got a lot of schools that have both a boys and a girls team, like Boonville. They have a boys and a girls team. Starkville, boys and girls, both down there. And I know in the past there's been problems with the scheduling with both of those, a boys and girls team from the same school playing at the same time. The fans, what game do you go to? So they've kind of altered things, so maybe that doesn't happen.
Right. What happened? They didn't alter them soon enough, but that's okay. Right. They're still tinkering with this thing. Last year, they played, they broke the classes up. You might have a couple of, they usually try to play 2 classes a day.
Yeah.
And you may have 2 2A games and 2 4A games at the site. And then you go back that night and have a couple more 2As and a couple more 4As. What they did this year is they, like in the morning session, they'll say begin, and they'll have 4 consecutive 4A girls games. And over at the other venue, say the Mississippi Coliseum, you've got four consecutive boys 2A games.
Yeah.
Well, problem is, not only they didn't do that last year. So what they ran into, scheduling wise, if you came out of your division as a seated the same and you won, in the first couple of rounds, then you came to Jackson in kind of the same seed. So it messed some things up. You had, like the Oxford girls were playing at the same time the Oxford boys were playing.
Yeah.
They have two different coaches, but a lot of teams don't want to split up their fan base.
Yeah.
Oxford elected to keep their games like they were, but they had to go back and change some games. The solution from that, from talking with coaches, and I'm sure the high school activities will do it next year if they keep this current format, is you'll play, let's say, you'll play 2A girls in the morning, and if you got 4A playing, move 4A girls to the morning too, and yeah, then play boys in the afternoon. So that way you have different boys, girls, that kind of thing. You split it up like that, but a little confusing. Then again, it's not confusing, but everything's worked out.
Okay. Well, good deal. Well, as I mentioned, Gene, we've got 25 teams from the area looking to win a state title. I mean, we know who a lot of the really good teams are and who has a good shot. And, you know, you don't know how many teams will ultimately end up winning state from the area, but we had a nice little package in today's journal, kind of looking at each team at a glance. And you had five teams, Gene, that you named that you think have the best shot at winning state.
Just John Pitts, our sports editor, decided yesterday afternoon that I need to gaze into a crystal ball, which I couldn't find. So I just kind of looked into the palms of my hand.
Every sports journalist has a crystal ball, Gene. You know this. You lost yours.
Mine's broken. It was used as a bowling ball.
Our predictions were flawless every time.
That's it. So he said, pick out five teams. I said, I'd like to 25. He said, no, five. Yeah. And I tried to look through it and see who maybe had, and there's no easy route down there. I was looking. The Boonville girls have been our number one team just about most of the year, but there's some really tough teams in that 3A girls tournament. And if they make it to the finals and get through their bracket, there's probably going to be Choctaw Central sitting there, and they're a good team too. Yep. So it's not going to be nothing easy. Ingomar girls.
Stepping up into 2A.
Stepped up into 2A this year. If Ingomar girls were in 1A, they would be a lock,
right?
To win in 1A, but they're in 2A. They should, everybody in that bracket's got a good record, and I don't know what kind of competition they played because I don't know anything about the South Mississippi teams, but I do know Heidelberg's unbeaten. Teams finish unbeaten for a reason.
Yeah.
Whether they're that good or not that good, you know, from a standpoint of being a good team. Ingomar girls could win, but they'll be challenged. I don't know if I went out on a limb or not. I like the Tupelo boys.
They just find ways to win, man.
They find ways to win. I said it wouldn't be a miracle if they did win, but they're going to have some big – they're going to have to beat Columbus again, and they're going to have to beat Starkville. And they'll have to beat Meridian in the first quarterfinals.
Yeah.
But if they do it, I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
Yeah. And then in 2A, you've got a couple of 2A boys teams. Obviously, they both can't win it, but they both have a really good shot at being there, Calhoun City and Baldwin.
Right. And, Baldwin's had they've got some phenomenal players, some guys who've been around. Connor McKay is one that comes to mind. A lot of tradition. I could see Baldwin making a run to the finals. You've got West Tallahatchie sitting there. They've got 31 wins. They're going to put them out.
Yeah.
And then Calhoun City has been one of our stronger 2A teams up here the entire season. They would have to, probably beat Baldwin and West Tallahatchie beat Baldwin then beat West Tallahatchie in championship games. I mean, it's going to be very competitive in 2A boys.
That'll be fun to watch, especially 2A. Looking again, it's the quarterfinals coming up Thursday through Saturday. And of all the area teams, Gene, can you tell me who might have the toughest quarterfinal matchup this next round
here. Yeah, Oxford boys play Wayne County. They both have 20-9 records, but John Davis tells me Wayne County's pretty salty. That'll be tough. Carnes boys, they're not going to have it easy. They're playing past Christian. Carnes had a great season. They finished number one in our rankings at the end of the regular season because they beat Tupelo.
Yep.
Right there in the final game of the season. But they also lost to Shannon, who's in the tournament, you know. I think Shannon could have a nice run. They play Northeast Lauderdale's 15-14. I don't know if that means they work their way in or what. I saw a 15-14 team beat a 28-0 team 30 years ago when I was working in Hattiesburg. That 15-14 team had played all the Jackson schools.
Yeah, there you go.
They were really good, and they stroked the team that was undefeated and knocked them out.
Our records aren't everything. That's
no.
Right.
Hulka boys play Sacred Heart from Hattiesburg. Looks like a pretty good matchup there. Baldwin boys play Heidelberg right off the bat. That could be a tough game.
Yeah.
Boonville girls, the team I picked as the favorite, they play Tylertown. Tylertown's 27-3.
There you go.
A
lot of tough matchups early there. And, you know, with this many teams, you're going to have a lot of really good storylines, Gene. Are there any one or two storylines that kind of intrigue you the most going into this?
I think from a standpoint of Ken Corinth, over the years, Keith Green, he's had these 20. I look back like the last 8 years, maybe 9 years, they've had 20 plus wins every season.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be intriguing to see if Corinth can keep it going. They've just kind of won. Just kind of win. And if they can kind of make that run through the tournament. Pontox girls.
That's a young team.
Russell. It's they've got some veteran players. They've got some young players. At the end of the year, they kind of struggled. They lost 3 or 4 regular season games. But now they've kind of been on a run state tournament here. Be interesting to see if they can make it to the finals and maybe make some noise. So from that standpoint, there's a good storyline, of course, with the Lauderdale family.
Yep,
I had an article on the other day. Craig Lauderdale is coaching at Craig's a former Jumping Town player many years ago. And he is coaching at Saltillo. It's his fourth year there.
Yep.
He's attended the state tournament for 30-something years, and he's never been there as the coach. And he's got Saltillo there. They've got a good team. That's a good storyline.
Yeah.
What makes it even more interesting is his daughter plays for Boonville's Lady Blue Devils.
And they're down there trying to win another title.
They're down there trying to win a championship in Maria. And then he's got a son, Austin, mm-hmm. who's a reserve for Boonville's boys, who beat Morville the other night in a thrilling game, probably one of the best games I've seen in the postseason. And so Austin, and his son, will be there.
Yeah, they'll play Kemper County on Saturday.
And his wife, Tara, teaches at Biggersville, and she used to coach there. She only stepped down from coaching to be able to go watch their children play. So you've got – and Biggersville, it's both of Biggersville's team. Cliff Little has his girls and boys down there. So
that's
the
right.
Lauderdales will be down there cheering for Saltillo. Both Boonville teams and both Biggersville teams.
That's a cool story. That's truly a family affair for the Lauderdales.
Sure is.
That's cool. So anyway, a lot of games going on. Gene, you'll be down there leaving today, I believe.
Right.
So a lot of coverage coming from Gene in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. So check out the coverage in today's paper. Got some good preview coverage there, and look for more tomorrow. Before we get out of here, Gene, we should at least touch on baseball, because baseball season has begun for high schools. I know it's going to get overshadowed, as it should, because it's postseason basketball. But we got some good teams in the area, Gene. I think that the team to watch, obviously, is Oxford, coming off a state championship, one of the best teams in the country, according to some chatter I've seen. They've got some really good players coming back. Jason Barber was the player of the year last year for the Journal.
I think he had a 0.00.
Yeah, ERA. Had an amazing season, and he's back. So good luck with that, all y'all in 5A. And, I was looking. They opened the season this past weekend. He pitched great in the second game of the season for Oxford. In the season opener, Houston Roth actually got the ball and threw a one-hitter.
Right.
So these guys are just stacked, and they've got some other kids back there.
Yeah, they've got really four pitchers. They've got a lot of Ole Miss signees. A lot of these kids are probably going to be drafted.
Yeah.
They went 35-1 last year and kind of cruised. They may not be that dominating. They're playing a tough schedule. They beefed up their schedule. Right, a lot of people want them in these tournaments, you know.
Sure.
Showcases and things that are going to happen during the season just because of the roster. And they've got Bianco's, two of those. On the other, we got a Kessinger.
Boy, got some names on there, don't they?
That Oxford team is loaded with names, baseball pedigrees, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be fun to watch. I hope I get to see them a couple times this year. And, of course, Tupelo High with Justin Reed coaching now. Yep.
New coach. Want to talk about Tupelo?
New coach, Jason Garrett. Tupelo's got a guy that can hum it.
Yep.
13
yep.
strikeouts, I believe. Gave up 3 hits and a walk in a season-opening win against Itawamba AHS. Tupelo's good every year. They're they're always going to be the favorite to win the division.
Yep.
And good luck to Justin Reed and his team, and be interesting to see the kind of season that they have.
Yeah. So baseball getting cranked up, and we'll have certainly talk more about that as we get past the basketball state tournament and a lot of other spring sports getting going as well. Gene, it's time now for the athletes of the week. We do this every week, pick a female and a male athlete, and give them a shout out for having a particularly good week on the court or on the field or wherever. So who we got, Gene?
Well, we'll go with baseball. I'm going to go with Jason Garrett.
There we go.
Good opener. A lot of pressure when you're a new coach to win.
Sure.
And you stick your best pitcher out there, and he's a left-hander, and he turns in an outstanding performance. I'm sure Jason will have a lot of outstanding performances this year. He's a Memphis signee.
Right.
And what a great start for him.
Yeah. As you mentioned, 13 strikeouts, 3 hits, and beating an Itawamba team that has a new coach as well, but they're always good.
Yeah, and it's Steve Kerr, who coached, had so much success at
Smithville. Yep.
Now at Itawamba, and Itawamba's strong every year
in
baseball.
No
so
doubt.
That was a quality win for Tupelo right off the bat.
Yep.
Girls player of the week, I kind of went with the name. I've seen her play, Shalissi's Rimmer. She's a guard for Vardaman. Vardaman's at the state tournament.
Yeah.
Vardaman girls.
How about that?
23 wins.
That's a good storyline right there.
That is a great storyline. And she hit back-to-back threes to put them ahead of Myrtle early in the fourth period, and they never lost the lead again and went on to defeat Myrtle in the second round by 5 points. And in a 1A tournament game. And like I said, Vardaman will be there. We'll be staffing Vardaman this week and kind of jumping on the old Vardaman bandwagon. So
why not? Yeah. So that's your athletes of the week, Shalissi's Rimmer. Did I say it right?
That brave Shalissi's.
Close enough. Shalissi's Rimmer of Vardaman and Jason Garrett of Tupelo. Congrats to them. And that's it for today's show. Again, this is a webcast and a podcast. If you want to listen to the podcast, it'll be up later this afternoon. Listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. If you missed any of this webcast or just want to watch it again, just, hey, watch the replay. We'll have the video up for a while here at djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps and send us an email with your thoughts or criticisms, observations, whatever. It's preprally@journalinc.com. You can follow Gene here on Twitter at Gene Phelps. Follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. That's Locke with an E. Okay, so that's it. Gene is headed to Jackson pretty shortly. He'll have plenty of coverage from down there. Next Wednesday, we will have a show, Gene. You'll still be in Jackson, but we'll figure something out, because that's going to be the main topic again, is that state basketball tournament. So we'll have a show next Wednesday. We just have to get Gene to do it remotely, but we'll definitely have the webcast and the podcast next week. So until then, thank you all for joining in, and we'll see you next time. Oh,